Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, Ms. Rael family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Dara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. If you can hear me clearly, send me a thumbs up. Let me know that all is clear. Thank you. As always, I'm going to start off with it's been a while. But you've heard this before, and I know you've already prepared for this lesson, but I'm going to just throw it out there. Get your notepad, your iPad, your highlighters, your good Bible, your good study Bible, your good dictionary, all those things that you would need for a good study. But we've been coming around, getting some good teachings lately, so hopefully this one can add to what you've already learned, or what you're learning. I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercies. But ultimately, we thank you for thy Son, whom you sent down to lay his life down for us and give us that perfect example on how to serve you. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the friends and family that you've given us to assist us in learning more and more about your Son and coming closer and closer to you. And as we've been taught and put out there, preparing us to meet with you as we go on this journey called life, as we go through your word to understand about what we should do in this life. We thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to be good children to you. We ask of thee in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, that you open our minds on this Sabbath day to the wonders of your word, giving us the understanding of your truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Hello, again, I am Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation, and we're going to do another session of Can It Be That Simple? And over the years, we've talked about many subjects, and this is just another subject that we're going to talk about. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is listening. One of the things that we read in Deuteronomy, you know, the Father says, Shema Israel, listen attentively, Israel. And as we are listening to the prophets, we're listening to the teachers, we're listening to our day-to-day life and our interactions with people in the faith, people out the faith, we're constantly listening. We're constantly experiencing things. But are we comparing these things with the things that we've learned over the years as the Father guides us to him, through his Son? Are we paying attention to the things that are around us? Are we being attentive in our hearing? Are we being attentive in our watching? Are we utilizing that armor that he's given us? Because he didn't give us this armor for nothing. He didn't send his Son down here for nothing. He sent him to help us because he understands our struggle. Our struggle as being a human. And sometimes we as humans have to admit that we have struggles and that we need help. Only way we can get help is if we ask for it. People are not going to assume that you need help if you don't ask for it. Because if people give you help because they perceive that something is wrong, you could always say, I don't need any help. When in essence, you need help. Recently, we've been dealing, you know, we had a series on childhood trauma. Did we look at that and start looking in the mirror and rehashing the things that we went through in our childhood? And did we tackle those things in our adult life so that we can be a little better for the Most High, so that you can chisel that away with his help. See, the Father can chisel it away for you, but you don't learn anything if you don't put forth that effort. Years ago, our beloved rabbi, he gave an example. And how he gave this example, he was talking about salvation. And the example he gave was a car. And he said, if someone gives you a car, you still have to maintain that car. You have to put gas in it. You have to put oil in it. You have to check the air pressure on the tires. You have to make sure that the lights work. You know, you have to make sure that the steering is right, the suspension is right. These are different things that kind of break down on a vehicle. Sometimes we have to look at ourselves as that machine. And sometimes the machine needs a little oil in. Sometimes the machine needs a little repair. And see, when the Father brings things to our knowledge, what is he doing? He's bringing some maintenance issues that you have to take care of. So when these things come up in us that he brings to the light, like we recently was learning about childhood trauma, when we go back and we look at, oh, wow, that's why I'm doing that, because I experienced this, that, and the other in my childhood. He gives us the wisdom as an adult to get rid of it, because it's those things that we have experienced that we still have dormant in us that causes us to do other things. The brother was talking about evil. One of the things we have to realize is that we are evil, point blank. We can strive and do whatever we do and stay in the word, but we're evil. But it's through Yahushua that we can become better. But we have to first acknowledge that we have a character flaw. And Yahushua is there to assist us in getting rid of the character flaws. But we have to ask for help. We have to accept the help that is even being given to us. When we ask for help and that help is given. But this is the title of the lesson today. And it's to listen or not to listen. What is your lesson? See, because sometimes we ask for help, but then we don't listen to the help that's being given to us. Because in our minds, we have an idea of what kind of help that we need. And see, we're gonna read the book of Jonah today. That's what the subject matter of today's lesson is. It's gonna be Jonah. And Jonah was a prophet that was chosen by the Most High for a purpose. Jonah was told to do something, and he didn't do it because of his isms and schisms that he had within himself. Father taught him something. And see, and that's what happens to us sometimes. We have to go through a hard lesson sometimes because we choose not to listen to what's being told to us. And then we wonder why we're going through what we're going through. But are we going back and paying attention to what has been told to us? And did we listen or did we not listen? So we're going to get into a few scriptures before we get into the book of Jonah. We're going to start off in John chapter 15, verse 16. We've read this scripture before, and it reads, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you will ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I'm going to stop here for a minute because I looked the word may up. Because sometimes we as individuals, we pray to the Father, we pray to the Father in Yahushua's name, and we hope, you know, and we have faith and hope that he's going to give it to us. But I'm going to stop and I'm going to look this word may up. And the word may in Webster means used to indicate possibility or probability. So when we pray, he might give it to us or he might not. It's a possibility he'd give it to us. Possibility he won't. But that should not be the reason why we pray. We're praying to give honor and glory to the Father, thanking him for the Son. Because the ultimate thing that he does give us is life and that opportunity to meet him. And we recently learned that one, that our whole life that we go through is technically preparing us to meet the Father. Now, we have to believe and understand that that is what life is all about, serving him, doing well, and eventually meeting him. That is our purpose. Everything else in between, that's life experience. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 13, verse 18. And it reads, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Spirit may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And this scripture is coming from, you know, the Messiah is talking, and he's talking to the disciples. And we, you know, this is, you know, in reference to, you know, Judas. But we have to understand that the Messiah chose Judas for that particular purpose. And, you know, in this particular scripture, I have highlighted, I know whom I have chosen. So the Father knows who he has chosen to do a work. And that information has been passed down to Yahushua. So he understands and he knows who's doing what. Because as we read in the scriptures, everything was for his purpose. And if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't be. So that's a reality that we have to come to understand. He has chosen us to hear his word. He has chosen us to practice his word, to live his word. That's a great honor, especially when you realize that you have been chosen by Yahushua. You know, when we read in the scriptures and sometimes when we pay, you know, we see the movies that depict the Messiah when he went through and he picked the disciples. He looked at them, follow me. And they got up and they followed him. Why? Because there was something in them that knew who he was, and they followed him. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And it reads, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I have appointed you as a prophet to be a prophet to the nation. See, the Father has chosen us to do a work for him. We hear Yahushua speaking to us. We receive the spirit of Yahushua when he sends it back to us so that we can constantly plant the seed of Yahushua in all those in whom we come in contact with. Sometimes we have to till that ground. Sometimes the ground is ready for that seed to be planted. But that's what we are supposed to do. Plant the seed of Yahushua in those in whom we come in contact with. Sometimes it requires a little work. Sometimes it don't. But at the same time, he chose us so that we can share that seed. And that seed can sprout and bear fruit. From here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 17 to 19. And this is just getting back and understanding prophets. Father went to, and he told him something. See, because the father doesn't do anything without letting the prophets know. He brings that information to the prophet so that the prophet can do his work. And we have to understand that. Prophets, teachers, deacons, people that are placed in authoritative positions are being placed there by the Father. And he chose them. And Yahushua speaks to them. See, one of the things that we are learning is authority, a structure. And when we understand the structure, then we can better understand what we're supposed to do. But if we're questioning the structure, then we're going to miss out on something. We're not going to be listening attentive to something. Why? Because we have all this things going on in our mind that causes us to miss something. And it's that important thing that you might miss that causes you to stumble. Verse 17, Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Yahweh said, will I hide from Abraham what I do? So this is something Yahweh is saying up front. Should I hide anything from Abraham? Why? Because ultimately, if you're familiar with the narrative of Abraham, Yahweh went to Abraham and told Abraham that he was going to have a son. At this time, Abraham was up in age. Verse 18, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him, for I have known him to the end, that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the ways of Yahweh, to do righteousness and justice to the end, that Yahweh may bring on Abraham that which he had spoken of him. So when the Father took me here, because ultimately that's who we are. We're Israel. This is the nation that he is talking about, that great nation, that true Israel. See, because when we get into the narrative of Abraham, Abraham seen the day of Yahushua. And Yahushua even testified of that to the people when he was here. How Abraham joyed to see his day. And Abraham seen his day. That's why he had faith that when it was told to him to offer up his son, that he had no problem with doing it, showing that love. But Yah, showing that love for Yahweh, because he's seen the day of Yahushua. And see, and that's what we have in us, the light of Yahushua. We take in his blood, We take on his body. One of the things Yahushua said, blessed are those who believe in me and have not seen me. That's us. Those who believe in Yahushua. Those who walk according to the word. Those who keep the laws, statutes, and judgments. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 139, verse 7 to 10. And it reads, where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Shiloh, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. Understanding that that spirit of Yah, that spirit of Yahweh Elohim, that spirit of Yahushua, it's everywhere. So we can't get away from it. It is with us. So we can't dib and dab and think that the Father don't see us. He sees us. He sees us. And he talks to us. Talks to us. But are we listening? See, the Father has the ability to use anybody, anything to speak to his people, to speak to his creation. And that's what we are. We are one of his creations. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself? I should not see him, says Yahweh. Do not I fill heaven and earth, says Yahweh. We can't escape the Father. We can't do it. But some of us sometimes think that we can. Some of us think we can. But we have to come to the realization that we can't hide from the Father. He sees everything that we do. He hears everything that we say. We'll go to Job chapter 34, verse 21. And it reads, for his eyes are on the ways of a man. He sees all his goings. Scripture's clearly stating, hey, man, you cannot get away from the eyes of the Father. He knows your ways. He knows your thinking. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And it reads, there is no creature that is hidden from Yah, from Yah's sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, with whom we have to do. Understanding, again, we can't hide from the Father. Now we're going to get into Jonah. Excuse me for a minute. Take a drink of water. And my Ariel voice. So I'm giving you opportunity to, for those who have their Bibles, to turn to Jonah. And just, you know, read along with me. And as we go through Jonah, reflect. Look at your own self and see if you've, you know, have a little Jonah in you. You know, because when I read through it, I seen a little Jonah in me. You know, and seeing a little Jonah in me, I think that's why the Father led me through these particular beginning scriptures, understanding that he sees me all times. He sees me, and he gave me these scriptures to let me know, to let you know that he sees you too. So if you think you're hiding from the Father with your actions and deeds, he sees you. The one, verse 1. Now the word of Yahweh came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. So we see in the beginning, Yahweh told him to do something. And he fled. So right now, he's not even listening. He ain't listening to what the Father told him to do. Verse 4, but Yahweh sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the marines were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so, be thy God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fall upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, what is thy country, and of what people are thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, Yahweh, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Yahweh, because he told them. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. So what is happening? These men realized that he was running from the mighty one of the heaven and earth. A mighty one in the heaven and earth was punishing or utilizing the sea to bring something to his attention. And see, one of the things that we have learned in the scriptures is that other nations knew Yahweh. They might didn't believe in Yahweh. They might not worship Yahweh, but they knew of Yahweh. And they knew the power of Yahweh. Verse 10. Again. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of Yahweh, because he told them. Then said they unto him, what should we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and was tempestuous. So right here, you know, I'm going to stop for a minute, because now you have these men, these foreigners, asking the prophet, because as we know, Jonah was a prophet. So he was they asked the prophet, what should you do? What should we do to calm the seas? And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know, for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. So now he understands that, hey, this storm out on this water, this storm that's tearing up this boat is because of him. Nonetheless, then the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto Yahweh and said, we beseech thee, O Yahweh, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Yahweh, hast as it's pleasing thee. So what happened? These men were about to throw Jonah into the water, but they prayed to Yahweh that, hey, please don't let his blood be on our hands. We're only doing what he told us to do. 14, wherefore they cried unto Yahweh and said, well, I'm reading it again. Verse 14, wherefore they cried unto Yahweh and said, we beseech thee, O Yahweh, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, Yahweh, has done as it's pleasing thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared Yahweh exceedingly and offered sacrifices unto Yahweh and vowed and made vows. Now Yahweh had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto Yahweh, his Elohim, out of the fish belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto Yahweh, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about. All the billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed about me, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down into the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Yahweh, my Elohim. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Yahweh, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of Yahweh. And Yahweh spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto dry land. So while Jonah was in the belly of this fish, depicted it as if he was in the grave, and he was giving praise and giving homage to the Most High. And the Most High heard his prayer. But at the same time, the Most High was taking him to where he was supposed to be going. And he didn't even realize it. You know, so at the same time, he had a purpose. The Father chose him to do a thing. Even though he was taking a ship somewhere else, the Father took him to where he needed to be. And at the same time, what was he doing? He was repenting while he was in the belly of this fish. Because in his mind, he didn't know whether or not he was going to live or die. But he realized that he had made a mistake. And he prayed for forgiveness. And he acknowledged his salvation and where his salvation comes from. Chapter 3. And the word of Yahweh came unto Una a second time. See, now he's telling him again. Because he didn't want, you know, well, this is just my, you know, what came to my mind. He didn't want him to do it on his own. He wanted to re-instruct him to do it again. So we start chapter 3 off, and this is how it starts off, just like chapter 1 started off. And the word of Yahweh came to Una the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So Una arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of Yahweh. Right here, boom, that experience in that belly of that fish changed his mind. It changed his mind a whole lot. Because he did it this time. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey. And Una began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Yahweh and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So when he started proclaiming what Yahweh said to them, that they were going to be overthrown in 40 days, Nineveh knew who Yahweh is. Know of Yahweh. And they know. Just like what we used to say back when you had the commercial back in the day, when Ian Hutton talks, people listen. So that's what happened. Una was talking about Yahweh, and them people listened. And as we read in the first chapter, what they was doing had rose up to the Most High, that he was going to go deal with them accordingly. But what did he want to do? Just like he do us. Give us an opportunity to get it right. And this is what he was doing with Nineveh. He was giving Nineveh an opportunity to get themselves right. Verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. So now we come in, when the information got to the king even humbled himself down to Yahweh. He didn't look at himself like Nebuchadnezzar did, thinking that he was greater than the mighty one that gave him the authority and gave him the power. Because more than likely, this king knew about Nebuchadnezzar and knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And as we know it in the narrative, Nebuchadnezzar got above himself until he got right within his mind. He was out there in the bushes running around like a wild animal. Father did that, let him know, hey, look, I can take care of your kingdom. because the kingdom is mine in the first place. I'm giving you these things. I'm allowing you to have this power. And that's the same thing with us. He is allowing us to know his word, to have a relationship with his son, to know the truth. He is allowing that. But do we believe that? Do we believe that at any time he can say, you know what? You don't value my word. You know what? It's time for you to go. It's time for you to get up out of here. And you're going to think that you're leaving because of something you choosing to do. No, you're leaving because you have been evicted. You're leaving because you have proven yourself unworthy. And he is guiding you out the door. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published it through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Yahweh. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Yahweh will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Yahweh saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. And Yahweh repented from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did not. When we look at this and we pay attention to what the king decreed, so for those 40 days, these individuals were fasting. Who was sustaining them while they were fasting? Yahweh was sustaining them because he seen the effort that they was putting forth, because they had recognized that they had been evil. They recognized the wrong that they were being, that they were doing. And when the prophet came to them and told them what they need, what was going to happen in 40 days, they got themselves right because they didn't know. And they was hoping and they had faith that what they were doing was going to be enough. And as we read in verse 10, and Yahweh saw their works that he turned from that seeing their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and Yahweh repented from the evil that he had said that he was going to do unto them, and he did it not. Chapter 4. Going back to Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Why was he angry? He was angry because he felt as though Nineveh should be punished. He felt as though Nineveh should be punished. But they showed submission. They humbled themselves, feared Yahweh more than he feared Yahweh. Because Yahweh came to him and told him to do a thing, and he left and did not do it. And Yahweh showed him mercy also. He didn't just wipe him out because he was disobedient. He let him go through some things, put him in the belly of an animal, in the depths of water. But Unit didn't realize that Yahweh was sustaining him in that state. He was there with him. Now we come to chapter 4, and it reads, "But it displeased Unit exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto Yahweh and said, I pray thee, O Yahweh, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious Elohim and a merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. And repented thee of the evil." See, ultimately, we look at Unit. He knew the graciousness and the kindness of Yahweh. So he knew that that's what Yahweh was going to do for them. Show kindness, show his mercy. And that angered him. Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Yahweh, I beseech thee, my life from thee, for it is better for me to die than to live." Because he showed kindness to another nation, Unit wanted to die. He was that displeased with the Father showing kindness to someone else that he wanted to die. Because he was the one that gave the message to them to tell them to repent and tell them that the Father was going to overthrow them. Verse 4, "Then said Yahweh, doest thou well to be angry? So Unit went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, so he might see what would become of the city." And now he posted up outside the city to see if the city is eventually going to get destroyed. And Yahweh Elohim prepared a gourd and made it to come over Unit, that it might be a shadow over his head, deliver him from his grief. So look at that. The Father is continuing to show kindness because he knew that in his spirit that he was grieving. He was grieving. But he showed him comfort. So Unit was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But Yahweh prepared a worm. When the morning arose the next day, it smote the gourd that and it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that Yahweh prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Unit, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And Yahweh said unto Unit, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" As he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." Then said Yahweh, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madeth it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" He's angry over a gourd that he got pleasure from. and wanted to die because the gourd was gone. And the Most High is letting him know, hey, isn't it better for life to dwell than a gourd to die? Sometimes we have to be mindful of what we're getting angry over. And we have to understand what our purpose is. Our purpose is to spread the good news. And the good news is that the kingdom of Yah is at hand. And that the doorway to the kingdom is Yahushua. As you know, we're about to go into the fall feast, and you know we know that these fall feasts symbolize something. The king is coming. King is coming. And when we read the narrative in regards to the a man went out and. I think it's a parable where it talks about and invited the people to come to this banquet, and they chose not to come. And then he said, go out there, the highways and the byways, and invite people to come. See, this is that season that we're in. And over the years, one of the things that come to my mind as far as this season is this is that weeding out period. Those who truly want to serve Yah. Those who truly are walking in the path of Yahushua. Those who are listening attentively. You know, as we read in the testimony of Yahushua, he tends to say, he who has an ear, or has been written, he who has an ear, let him hear. What are we hearing? We're hearing the truth about Yahweh, Elohim. We're hearing the truth about that word. That's what we're hearing. And that's why we're going to be called that true Israel. Because we acknowledge of Yahweh, Elohim. And we have the testimony of Yahushua. And that's going to prepare us so that we can meet Yah. He who has an ear, let him hear. To hear, to listen, or not to listen. What lesson will you learn? We're going to go to a few scriptures now because that was the end of Yuna. Going to go to a few scriptures. Going to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 to 13. And it reads, many false prophets will come and fool a lot of people. Evil will spread and cause many people to stop loving others. But if you keep on being faithful, right, to the end, you will be saved. See, we're going to have a lot of false teachers coming out here in these latter days. And they're going to be teaching all kinds of stuff. See, but they're not going to be the testimony of Yahweh Elohim. They're going to be telling you, you don't have to acknowledge Yahweh Elohim in his testimony. They're going to be telling you that. They're going to be telling you that you don't even have to acknowledge testimony of Yahushua. And these are the two things that show that you are Israel. And this translation that I'm reading from, I don't normally read from the King James, but this came from the King James Version, the what's it called, the Purple Letter Version. I think I read it because of how I read. The next scripture we're going to go to is Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. And it reads, "To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." We read this scripture before. You know, and when the Father led me to this scripture, he told me to read this one. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. "And the dragon was angry with the woman and went in to make war with the remnant of her seed who kept the commandments of Yahweh and had the testimony of Yahushua." From here, we're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 12. And it reads, "Then spoke Yahushua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." See, this is that light that's being talked about. That's the light. And that light is the light of Yahushua. And the light of Yahushua will encompass all darkness. So we'll always be walking in light. And if we have Yahushua with us, when people come to us and try to talk to us about things that's not true, you know, as those Marvel fans say, you know, Spider-Man and his that spidey sense, that's what happens to us. Ding, 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 that spirit in us, and be like, ding, 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 being ringing, ring, ring, hey, warning, warning, warning. Warning, warning. You know, and that's what happens when people start running off at their mouth and preaching falsehood. Those who are standing in the truth with Yahushua. Warning, warning, warning. And then he gives us what we need to say to bring that person to understanding that they need not say any more. But they tend to try to keep saying some more versus walking away gracefully. Because at the end, they want that sword. That's what they want. Most believers will oblige them with that sword. But you know, as scripture tells us to be skilled with that word, well, sometimes we don't just cut the neck off. We just stick them real hard. Give them something to think about. Because it's all about winning a soul and bringing someone closer to Yahushua so that they too can enter into that banquet hall. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 3. I mean, chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. And it reads, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yah spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us." And who was given unto us? Yahushua was given unto us. So that's the least we can do for him. See, because you know, we recently came across this scripture and we were talking about it. And it says that Yahushua learned patience. I mean, yeah, I think, no, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So this is just a small suffering that we have to go through. Because he did the same thing. Understanding us as humanity and being obedient to the Father, but going through the same trials and tribulations that we go through. But he rose above it. And that he is our example, that we too can rise above it. But we have to have a relationship with Yahushua. We have to choose to want to listen to him and listen to those in whom he sent out. Because when we read the narrative of Yahushua, he said he gave them power. Gave them the same power that he had. But then they have to have faith that they had that same power. And seeing that's where difficulty comes in as we as believers. Because we so grounded in physical world. But as we learn and as we travel, as we continue in his ways and in this truth of this word, we too can achieve that goal. We too can achieve it, but we have to believe that we can achieve it. To believe, keeping our eyes, keeping our focus on Yahushua. You know, we have an example in the testimony of Yahweh Elohim when Moses was being filled with the spirit of Yahweh Elohim. Because the scripture said that Moses was going to be Elohim on earth. So he was manifesting that on earth. He was being filled with the spirit of Yahweh Elohim to the point where he had to cover himself because the light of Yahushua was busting out of them. Because we just read that that's who the light is. It is Yahushua. That's what was in Moses. Sure. Because that body was not made for Yahushua. That wasn't the body that was prepared for him. But he was in it. See, our body is being prepared for Yahushua. How? Through that covenant we made with him. And take this bread, for it is my body, mind, what is my blood, my spirit. So he wants to embody within us. Because we made that covenant with him. Second Corinthians, the 12, verse 9 and 10. Just another scripture to let us know that it's not going to be easy, but it can be easy. It can be easy. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And this is, you know, this is talking about Paul. Paul had a couple of infirmities going on with him, and he prayed to the Most High and said, hey, please take these from me. And this is, you know, this is part of that narrative. verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Yahushua may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Yahweh's sake. Understand that some of our struggles and our situations that we might be in, we're supposed to rise above them, not for our sake, but for Yahushua's sake, because we call ourselves Israel. We call ourselves believers in Yahushua. So we have to demonstrate that character. We have to demonstrate that. And others will see that. So that's how others learn. Yeah, you can tell people certain things, but as they say, seeing is believing. You know? So we demonstrate and we're showing this time after time after time after time after time. They're like, wow, that brother sure got some endurance. I don't know if I could go through all that. You know, we tend to make, jokes about slavery, you know, and how some of us said, boy, they hit me one time, I'm going to give in, you know. Because, hey, I don't know how I feel to be whipped, you know. But, you know, we look at those movies and we see that people survive slavery and things of that nature. But, you know, just thinking about torture or the pain that may come from certain things, you know, think about the pain that you do when you stump your toe and thinking about that pain constantly being given to you for the next 5 minutes. You don't even think about that. You'd be like, wow. I don't think I can endure that for the next 5 minutes. Think of a toothache that you get in your mouth and the pain that you go through. And you be like, oh, man, I need some pills to get this pain up out of my face. Constantly getting that pain, you know. But we have to be mindful of this is what Yahushua was going through. He took that pain for nothing. Not for nothing. He didn't do anything to deserve that. But he knew that he was going to get that for our sake. So that's something that we have to do for his sake. We have to become selfless, just like he was, not worrying about self, but worrying about others and making sure that others are taken care of. Years ago, the beloved rabbi told us, he said, if you're so busy worrying about making sure others are taken care of, you don't have time to think about yourself, and the Father will take care of you, so that you can continue to take care of others. He will provide you with the resources to continue to show his goodwill to others. And the last scripture, and the last part of that scripture, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, because when we're weak, we're in that humble state. We're in that innocent state. And you just think about a child. A child is not strong to an adult. A child is subject to the authority that's above it, which is its parent, any older siblings. And that's how we're supposed to be. Understanding that structure. So now we're going to go to Psalms 105, 115, verse 15. And we read this. This is part of our Sabbath liturgy. And see, we have to realize that this applies to us as Israel. Saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. See, we have been chosen. We have been anointed to do a thing. We house the seed of Yahushua within us. See, when you go to the Hebrew and look up the word prophet, that's what it means. Nabi, the seed, or the nun in the Bet house, housing the seed. What is that seed? That seed is Yahushua, and he is housed within us. And because he's housed within us, it gives us the ability to teach. Within your realm. See, understanding that the Father leads and guides us. Yahushua sends that spirit to you. I need you to speak to this person right here. You've been tasked to do this. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. And it reads, to me belong a vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the days of their calamity is at hand, and the things that should come upon them make haste. See, we have to understand that the Father sees everything. He's everywhere. And if you're touching or doing something wrong to his little ones, he's going to get you. He's going to get you. Remember, and, I listen to jokes, comedians. You know, and sometimes you have some comedians to talk about, oh, they'll beat the kid up. They'll beat the kid. They'll be the child. And see, to the Father, we all children. And he going to be the child for doing wrong to another one of his children. Discipline them. So we have to be mindful of how we interact and deal with humanity. And let alone our brothers and sisters in the faith. Let alone our brothers and sisters that are of true Israel. We have to be mindful that the Father will deal with you accordingly. But you can be like Jonah and think, he ain't gonna pay that no mind. He ain't gonna do that. He ain't gonna do this. He ain't gonna do that. But he gonna deal with you in his time when he ready for you to get that lesson. We're gonna end on Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 21. And it reads, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahweh. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil was good. And that's dealing with when people do you wrong. Do you wrong. But we have to make sure that we are in good standing with that word, in good standing with that truth. Because we have to understand, like we've been learning, there is a structure. There is a structure. And in that structure, we must uphold that structure. And we have to understand that we have no right to punish anyone. We don't even have the right to punish ourselves. Because we're not here because of our own means. We're here because the Father is allowing us to live. Because we're here for His purpose. And when we come to realize and understand that that's why we're here, life might become a little better. Might come a little better because you're starting to understand what your purpose is. You're here to to help others understand what their purpose is. As we've been learning, we are the temple, lively stones, because we house in the word. We are housing the truth. So wherever we are together, the temple stands. Whenever we dialogue and build with one another, the temple is getting stronger and being fortified. So family, hopefully you learned something, because I learned something through reading Jonah and realizing that the Father has given me a good life. He's given me a good life. You know, there was a time when I used to constantly complain and complain and complain. But, you know, I've come to realize that, you know, Israel did that in the wilderness. And what did he eventually do? He got rid of that complaining generation. Got rid of them. And we get to read that narrative. They got rid of them. What? You constantly complained. Complained about this, you complained about that, and not realized that you were given goodness. You didn't pay attention that your shoes didn't wear out. You didn't pay attention that your clothes didn't fray. You just paid attention to the fact that manna didn't have no flavor. But you wasn't hungry. It just lacked a little flavor. You know? Complain that you ain't had no wine. You ain't had no mead. But you had plenty of water. Good water. Living water. So sometimes we have to sit back and realize that we have a good life. Might not be the life we want, the life we've been handed. And we got to see the good in the life that we have. And because, as the scripture talks, you know, we read in it, I think it's, what is it, Second Colossians? No, not Colossians. Chronicles. Believe in Yahweh, you'll be established. Believe in His prophets, and you'll prosper. And what your prosperity is, the word of God. we have to start cleaving to that prosperity, start wanting that. And the more we want that, you never know what might happen in your life. But you know one thing, you're closer to the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Merciful Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for all you will do for us. Father, we thank you for the health and strength that you've given us. Thank you for the health and strength that you've given our friends and family. We thank you for the encouragement that you give us through your prophets, through your teachers, through your children. Father, we thank thee for Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Father, we love you. Father, we need you. Father, we ask of thee to continue to send the help that we need when we need it the most. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen our relationship with thy Son so that we can know more and more about you. So when that great day comes, we'll be so excited to see you. Father, we thank you. And we ask of thee to protect us from dangers seen and unseen. We ask of thee, Father, to protect us in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind and assist us to stand on your truth in both states of mind. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen us to hold on to the armor of Yahushua. To continue to hold on to the character of Yahushua. For the times we are approaching, they want no law. They want no order through your order and your laws that will protect us through these troubling times that we are approaching. For we would keep our eyes focused on you, O Father, because you have shown in your word when tribulation was coming, was light in Goshen. You're going to keep your light upon us, for your light is within us. May we continue to cling to that light that you have given us. May we understand that Yahushua is our strength, is our buckler, is our salvation. Thank you, Father, for taking the time to dwell with us. Up with us. Thank you, Father, for considering us. Carry on your word. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shalom, Yisrael. May you all have a peaceful slumber for the meal that we've eaten. May it sit on our stomach and cause us to regurgitate it. May we turn it and turn it and turn it and turn it so it can become part of us. May you all have a peaceful slumber. May Yahweh bless you, keep you. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel. May you all have a peaceful slumber.
Don't want.